Members of the New York City Jails Action Coalition rallied outside a meeting of the city's Board of Corrections this week to protest what they claim is the widespread misuse of solitary confinement cells on Rikers Island. The group has been fighting to end the use of solitary confinement, particularly for prisoners with mental illness. WBAI's Jose Santiago spoke with Luke Schramm, a member of the New York City Jails Action Coalition.
We were in front of the Board of Corrections bi-monthly meeting, and we were protesting a number of things, but primarily the use of solitary confinement in New York City jails. Currently, the New York City Department of Correction designates between more than 200 punitive segregation beds just for people diagnosed with mental illness. In addition, by the end of 2013, the Department of Corrections intends to increase its solitary confinement capacity by 69% once complete. These being beds, which is solitary confinement or punitive segregation, will number 1,215, or approximately one for every 10 incarcerated individuals. And then this is on top of the fact that the average length of solitary confinement is almost 50 days. And this puts New York City jails as having one of the highest rates of solitary confinement in the United States, exceeding the national average by 2-4%. Not only has Harvard medical professor Antal Gawande stated that solitary confinement should be considered torture, the UN rapporteur has said the same thing and has recommended that nobody be isolated for longer than 15 days. And here in New York City, we have one of the highest rates of this practice among the people incarcerated in the jails. Mm-hmm. So we're advocating that basically not just an outright ban of this practice, but at a very minimum, to stop building more beds, stop using this practice so prevalently, and recognizing that it basically does not help the circumstances for anybody.
Now, my understanding is that a large percentage of the inmates, people being detained at Rikers, have not even been convicted of anything. It's a lot of people who are waiting trial. Do we know if even people awaiting trial are subjected to solitary confinement?
Yes, over 70% of the people at Rikers are just awaiting trial and have not been convicted of anything. And that's the majority of people who are being held in solitary confinement. A lot of the people who are being, convicted of crimes are either passing through to have a court date in the city or are serving a misdemeanor sentence in the MTC. So actually the majority of people who are being held in solitary confinement have not been convicted and are free trial detainees, which I think is something important to note, but at the same time, I think the practice is heinous for somebody convicted of a crime or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, we know there have been a lot of studies that show, as you say, that this solitary confinement is considered in many places and by many people to be a form of torture. What legal efforts, effort has there been through the legal process to try to stop this? And is there anything that's percolating right now on that front?
There has been some cases from long ago in the Supreme Court that it's acknowledged solitary confinement. It's barbarity, but since then, the Eighth Amendment case law hasn't been extremely helpful with this. So I think one of the most important avenues we have right now is sort of public sentiment. So that's why you see even legal groups like New York Civil Liberties Union and other groups really trying to advocate the effect it has on individuals and the science behind it, because we're dealing a lot right now with very sort of conservative case law and conservative judges. And, you know, I mean, it's important to note that most of the Supreme Court justices haven't even been to a prison. And so there's a real disconnect in terms of Eighth Amendment cruel and unusual punishment law and the people who create that and the people who actually experience that.
In states or in jurisdictions where they have reduced the number of people they put in solitary, do we have any sense of what the results have been?
Two prime examples that we like to cite is Mississippi, who reduced the number of incarcerated people in solitary confinement by 75.6% since 2007, and jail violence or violent incidences have decreased by 50% over the same period. And then in Maine, where they also reduced the population in solitary confinement by 70%, there was no increase in violence at all. So it really sort of goes against the argument where it's sort of a necessary practice. And I think it's further to note that in terms of the detrimental effects of solitary confinement, it's extremely prevalent in terms of people with mental health issues. So someone being isolated by themselves, the effects of solitary confinement in terms of breaking down their mental capacities and their mental state is exacerbated by their mental illness. And Rikers has solitary confinement cells set aside just for people with mental illness. Now, in New York State, there's already been litigation over this, and they have restricted the use of solitary confinement with people with mental illness. Now, that litigation over that only affected New York State and does not affect New York City. So we're actually just trying to catch up to reforms that New York State has already accomplished. So in terms of how far the New York City jails are behind states like Mississippi or Maine or even New York State prisons, is really astounding.
Mm-hmm. And just one last question for listeners who might be interested in advocating for this and supporting you on this issue. What's the best way they could get more information?
I recommend visiting our website, nycjac.org. You can find all the information I just talked about on there. You can find a news archive of what is happening in New York City jails.
Okay, and what's the website again?
nycjac.org, so nycjac.org.
Luke Schramm is with the New York City Jails Action Coalition. He spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago.